listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This is Dave Freeland, your host on Sounds of Joy, inviting you to listen Sunday mornings at 6 on WCNO FM.
Free Spirit Worship Center, under the pastoral leadership of Pastors Ronnie and Glenise Glover, located at 364 Swain Boulevard, Green Acres, Florida, at the corner of Swain and Biscayne. Join us every Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. Free Spirit Worship Center, where families are our focus. Exciting praise and worship, a family-friendly worship environment. For additional information, call 561-596-8772 on the web at www.fswcc.org.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Next Gen Ministries with Travis and Patrice Morgan. We will also like to thank our sponsor, Direct Nursing Care Services, Inc., located in Boca Raton, Florida, for supporting this ministry. If you would like to write into us, request prayer, or financially support this ministry, we can be reached at P.O. Box 552, Boca Raton, Florida, 33429. Again, that's P.O. Box 552, Boca Raton, Florida, 33429, or at phone number 561-705-7830. Now, stay tuned for today's broadcast.
Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful morning. Wonderful morning because we're alive, we're breathing, we're healthy, we're in our right minds.
Yeah.
We know the name of the Lord. We lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We know who to call on when we have issues and problems.
Amen. It's a wonderful morning. You know, this week has been a challenging week. A challenging 7 months, I should say.
Yeah.
And this month, you know, has been challenging also because a family member of mine has passed away. So we've been dealing with a lot mentally, but through it all, we know that Jesus Christ still reigns.
Yes, he does.
Through it all, he's our comfort, he's our joy, he's our peace.
Yes.
So I'm able to say God is good, you know, no matter what.
Yes.
And today, you know, I want to say something. It's marriage is wonderful. If you're out there listening right now, listening to this radio program right now, I want to encourage you in something. If you got to get married, marry somebody that loves the Lord.
Amen.
Marry someone that loves the Lord more than you.
Amen.
More than they love you, I mean.
Amen.
Because whenever you're down, they're able to pick you up.
Yeah.
Whenever you're going through a trial, they're able to encourage you in the Lord.
Pray for you.
Pray for you when you can't pray. Lay hands on you when you're sleeping. You know, things like that. Things that really matter. Trust me. Marry someone that loves Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My wife has a word to share with you guys today. And I'm so glad because this week my mind has been racing. And she's like, babe, I have a word.
Mm-hmm.
She shared it in church. It was a wonderful word. And it still is wonderful. And she's sharing it now with us.
Amen.
So, Patrice, praise God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, this has been on my heart. You know, God impresses on my heart for the past week. I'm going to read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 15. And it says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again."
Jesus.
Number 14 is the one that I really want to focus on. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." constraineth in that, and this passage means compels us. Compels us. It and the Greek is called sunucho. Sorry, is to hold us together. It holds us together unless anything falls to pieces. It holds us completely together. We become a prisoner to it. This love that compels us. It compels us, like Travis just said. Sometimes we go through things, but the love that Christ have for us, it compels us. It pushes us forward. It holds us together when we want to give up.
Yes.
It holds us together when we just want to crumble. One of my favorite scriptures, I say it all the time, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love that he showed towards us. Our life is not our own. We belong to him because he paid a hefty, hefty price for us.
Yep.
And that compelling love, I want to encourage you, let that compelling love push us forward. Push you forward when you want to give up, to say, you know what, God, you love me. And another scripture, this type of love, it makes us want to just serve him and let our bodies be. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, I want to read that real quick for you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6. You hear the pages in the Bible going, because we believe in the word of God.
Yes.
It says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost,
yes,
which is in you?
Yes.
Which you have of God, and ye are not your own?
That's right.
For ye were bought with a price.
Yes.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit.
Yes.
Which are God's.
Yes. They belong to him because he paid that price. He paid that price. And I don't know about you guys, but I was sharing to the people of God in church last night what has been going on in the news. We're averaging probably a school shooting a week.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And we're seeing our kids go astray. And we're seeing all of these wars. And we're seeing all of this corruption. But this love that Christ, by him dying for us, it compels us to push on in this world when we just want to give up.
I have a question for you guys out there. Do you know how much Christ really loves you?
Right.
Do you know? Because what I'm getting from that scripture that you read is that the knowledge of God's love for us is the keeping power.
It is.
It keeps us from falling away. Not so much how much we love him.
Right.
But how much he loves us.
Yes.
That's what keeps us.
Yes.
Yes. It constrains us, compels us,
yes,
the love of God. I know every time that I go through a trial or I go through a period where I'm not feeling as uplifted as I should say, what keeps me is I remember things that God has brought me through.
Exactly.
I remember the things that could have happened to me that didn't happen,
yes,
because of the love of God.
Yes.
And it always keep me going forward.
Yes.
I say, Lord, you're too good.
Yes.
You're too good to walk away. Look how much things you have done for me. Look at the things that you have taken me through.
Yes.
And a lot of things that I've been through, I caused myself.
Exactly.
But because the love of God, the love of God constrains us.
Yes.
It compels us. God is a good God.
Exactly.
Praise the Lord.
This love,
yes,
that God has for us, it causes us to do three things. Number one is to follow him.
Wow. Yes.
And it's just like you just said it. I'm telling you, when you know someone has done so much for you when you don't even deserve it, and all of us been there where we were like, God, why art thou so mindful of me? I know I've been there where you know you just can't get something right. And he still bless you. It's true. I said it last night. It's true when the word of God says it's the goodness of God that leads some men to repentance.
Yes.
I know a lot of times in my case that was the case.
Right.
And then you're going through these things and he just keeps, you just throw up your hands and say, I have to serve this good God. As good as he's been to me in my fallen nature, as good as he's been to me, this love should compel us to follow him. You know, when we think of going back, why? Why should we go back? It pushes us forward. And Jesus had followers. And Peter had the key. He said it. He says, Jesus is, when the followers were turning back, Jesus said, are you guys going to turn back to? Peter says, God, where should we go?
Right.
You have the keys. You are the Lord.
Right, the words.
The words. Where would we go? You have eternal life. And that's the faith that Peter and the disciples had in him till they followed him. Right. They followed him even to their deaths.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You read up on, you know, their lives, and they were martyred for this name.
Yes.
Because they followed him to death.
Right.
They followed him to their death. And that's what it's all about. We need to get to the point where we say, you know what, God? This compelling love, this love that's holding me a prisoner, this love that's keeping me holding my life together, I have no other choice than to follow you. Go ahead.
And by you saying that, you know, now you just exposed the devil. No, it's true. You did. You said that the love of God caused us to follow him.
Yeah.
Many of us don't follow him because of why? Because why? We don't recognize that love.
Right.
We condemn ourselves and we say, how can a God so holy, so awesome and great love me?
Exactly.
After I heard about him and still chose to go in this direction.
Exactly.
Still chose to do things that I know are contrary to his word.
Exactly.
You know, but we got to understand that nothing could separate us from the love of God.
Nothing.
Only one thing can. Us. And that's yourself.
Us. Exactly.
Doubt, fear, condemnation, guilt, those things will separate you because we decide to hold on to them.
Exactly.
There's so much power. We have so much power. God said all things are given to you. We have all things belong to us. All we have to do is accept it. Say, Lord, you love me.
Right.
You love me. I don't love you as much as I should and can. But you love me. Perfect love. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear.
That's
it's
true.
Not our perfect love to God, but when we recognize his perfect love for us,
yes,
fear has to go.
Yes.
Because God is a loving God.
Yes.
He demonstrated that love for us on the cross.
Exactly.
When he chose to die for sinners like me and you.
Exactly.
God showed us the ultimate love, because the Bible says that no greater love is than for when a friend or a person lays down his life for a friend.
That's right.
And God said, we are friends.
Yes.
We're no longer servants. We're friends now, as long as we do what he commands.
Exactly.
And what he commands is not grievousome. It's not hard. He says, love him with all of our hearts. And love our neighbors as ourselves. This fulfills the law and the prophets.
Yes.
And all this love that God asks us to give him is through him, through the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit causes us to love.
Amen.
So whatever we need for life and godliness, God says, I already gave it to you. Yep. I equipped you.
Exactly.
That's why we must walk by faith.
Exactly.
And not by sight.
Exactly.
In the name of Jesus.
Exactly. That's a good word. You said it best. The only people that can separate us from this love is Christ. Romans chapter ourselves could separate us from the love of Christ. Romans 8:38-39, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God,
praise
which is
God.
In Christ Jesus our Lord.
No outside force could stop us.
None.
None could separate us.
None.
Outside forces.
None.
So remember that.
Yep.
Let God's love compel you.
Yep.
Jesus. You know, Jesus is a... Do you understand that Jesus, right? Jesus, the name Jesus, that's God's saving name.
Yes.
God has a lot of names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, our provider, our banner in war. Jehovah Shalom, our peace.
Yes.
A lot of... But God says, listen, this is the name above all names.
Exactly.
The name of Jesus.
Yes.
He said, this is my name for you now.
Yes.
This is identifying my saving grace.
And the power.
The power. Jesus.
Yes.
We call Jesus. That name.
Jesus.
We're saying, God, I'm calling the name that you gave me because you... The name of love is just Jesus. Because it reminds us of the cross.
Yes.
It reminds us of his burial and his resurrection.
Yes.
And how he poured out of his spirit upon all flesh.
Poured out.
In the last days. Because he's sealing each person who believes with the Spirit.
Yes.
Because love.
Love.
Driven by love. God is so good.
Compelled by love.
The passion of Christ. That's what it's called. The passion, right?
It makes you push on. It makes you push on. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to press. Forget the things that you failed at. Forget all those things in the past and press. Follow him. Let this love compel you. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, our Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's my Jesus.
Yes.
The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes. Press. Follow him.
Yes.
Keep going. When you get up, keep going. There's nothing to go back to when we look at it. He has been so good to us. A next thing that has to push us forward, the love that compels us, this love that compels us, it compels us to tell others of the goodness of Jesus, to be a witness in our word and deed.
So the first one, it compels us to follow him.
To follow him.
And the second one is what?
Tell others of the goodness of Jesus. Mm. Be a witness.
Wow.
In word and deed. For lack of time. And Mark chapter 1, 40-45. I'm going to try to read that real quick. This is good. This is a good word.
Mark chapter 1?
Mark chapter 1.
I'm there.
Yes.
Verse what?
40-45.
It says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.
Yeah.
And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed.
This is the good part, y'all.
And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter.
You see that?
Wow.
When he was met with this love that say, you know what? I want you to be clean. I want you to be healed. He couldn't help it. Jesus told him, don't tell anyone. The Bible said he blazed it. he just didn't tell it. He published it much. Even so that Jesus was like, wait, I got to go in the desert. It was too much. People came to him.
Right. He could have entered the city.
Yes.
Right.
This is how we have to be. When we start knowing the love of God, the love that God have for us, I'm telling you, we can't hold it in. We can't. We can't walk around pretending like he hasn't been good to us. It's going to show on our countenance.
Yes.
It's going to show.
Yeah.
It's going to show in our smile. We'll find ourselves telling people, praise the Lord.
Yes.
You know, and just like, oh, it's a blessed day. And people looking at you like you're crazy. They don't understand this love that was extended to you.
Exactly.
That love that broke the chains. That love that saved you from your life of sin.
You know how deep love is?
Yeah.
Do you know how deep it is? The Bible says that God is love. God is love.
Yes.
That's how powerful this love is. Love, the love that constrains us, that compels us.
Yes.
It's the God. The love is the God that compels us and that constrains us. When we recognize who he is, his characteristics, his thoughts, his ways. Oh, man, it's amazing. God is so good to us. And the devil wants to hide that.
Yeah.
He don't want us to know how much God loves us. As a matter of fact, he wants to isolate us. He don't want us going to the house of the Lord, the church, the building,
yes,
to be with the people of God. He doesn't want us to to have fellowship together.
No.
He don't want us to read together, pray together, break bread together.
No.
He wanted us to stay on an island on our own so that he could harass us and remind us about how bad we are and what we have done. But the devil is a liar.
Yes.
I want to tell you something. Look in the mirror and just say, God loves me. Exactly. Say it 7 times. Keep on saying it until it sinks into your mind.
Yes.
Until it sinks into your heart. Keep on saying it until you believe. Say, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Jesus loves me. That's enough. That's enough to destroy the work of the enemy in your life. And that's what God came to do.
Yes.
Destroy the work of the enemy.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
In my life.
Yes.
God has his eye on you. You are the apple of his eye. God loves you. Taking a breath. That is borrowed ear.
Yeah.
God is allowing you to breathe. Allowing you to see, to think, because he loves you.
Yes.
And he's waiting for you and I to recognize his love and to turn to him, to
yes.
humble ourselves.
Yes.
And to come to him and pray and seek him while he may be found and call on him while he's near.
That's right.
So he will be able to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory.
And he desires to supply those needs. He wants us to come to him with those things. He's just willing and able to do it because that's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. I'm telling you, the third thing that this love that'll compel us to do is put aside ourselves and be a servant. Like Travis just said, he doesn't want us to come together with the brethren and to have fellowship.
The enemy doesn't want us to.
He wants to just throw us off key and say, you know what? They don't love you over there. Stay over here. You don't have to fellowship with them. You don't have to, you know, when we get among each other, you know, love, the Bible says love is not selfish.
Right.
There's no selfishness in love.
Jesus is
not self-seeking.
Right.
He's our perfect example. And when we find ourselves being compelled by this love and taken as an example, we will go to fellowship with our brethren and be able to say, can I get that for you? Or you will find yourself, you know, looking about the needs of people and allowing God to use you.
Right.
To bless people.
Right.
Allowing God to use you, even if it's just going up to them and saying, you know what? God loves you. God bless you. You just came outside of yourself.
Right.
You just stop, put self aside, because you know, us as humans, we don't want the rejection. We don't want to step out sometime and tell someone God love you for fear of the
rejection.
Response.
Right. Exactly.
But that's not what it's all about. It's all about just putting the self aside, because one person may need to hear that.
Yes.
If God put it on, if you're not self-seeking, you're readily available to hear what God would have you to do. You're readily available to hear him say, go over there and minister to your neighbor. This is the neighbor that's been giving you a hard time. It's been throwing things in your yard. But I want you to go and preach the gospel to them.
The gospel,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's what it's all about.
God.
John chapter 13, 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
So it's not how good you preach or how much you know. That's not how people will know that you were his disciples.
If you preach good and you know a lot and you're just selfish and mean, what matters most, you know?
So I don't need to know the Greek of every word in the Bible to be a disciple. I need to love to be a disciple.
Love. John 15, 12 through 14, it specifically says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
This is his example for us. It says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command.
Yes.
God wants us to love, be servants, you know, be used by him.
We have 4 minutes, 24 seconds. Just letting you know. Keep going.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Good. Yes.
I just want to encourage everyone out there. This is what it's about. We have to, in this time that we're living in, I'm going to say it again because I've been, you know, you can't avoid the news. But this love should compel us to say, you know what, God, your time is coming soon. You're coming soon, and I have to go out there and tell people of the goodness. I have to lay self aside, yes, and present myself as a servant.
Living sacrifice.
Yes.
Holy
and to pleasing. Follow you, there's nothing to turn back to.
Yep.
Nothing. When the worse it seems to get out there, more evil out there, grace abound even more.
Even more. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people are, you got these doomsday people, oh, look what happened in the world. My Bible says that grace is abounding even more.
Even more.
So we need to get out there and tell people about the grace of God.
Yes.
And win those souls and tell people, listen, he did this for you when he said it is finished on Calvary. When he said it is finished, he covered all that. So let's go.
We're doing it right now.
Exactly.
We're telling you out there, God loves you. Take a step forward to God.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Remember that. And God says that for every man to be saved, he must obey the gospel. And I'm going to give you a little snippet of what the gospel is. You can find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Yes.
Peter, standing up, preaching the first gospel message, yes, to the people.
Yes.
He made them believe in Christ. He said, this Christ we crucified is both Lord and God.
Yes.
And in 38, after they asked him, what shall we do? Peter said this. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Yes. First step.
Yes.
That's death. Repenting is dying to yourself.
Yeah.
And saying, Lord, I'm turning to you.
Yes.
Repentance is bloody. It's sacrificial. You're humbling yourself and saying, God, here I am.
Right.
Then it says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins. That's burial.
Yes.
In Romans, it says that those that are baptized are buried with Christ,
yes,
in baptism.
Yes.
Then it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the resurrection.
Yes.
That's the power to walk a new life. Death, burial, resurrection. Faith without works is dead. Show me what Paul said, or James. James says, if you show me your faith, I'll say you have faith, I'll show you my works.
Yes.
This is what we do. This is how we obey the gospel. By repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he said, we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is how we show God that we acknowledge his love for us.
Yes.
In the beginning. There's a lot more to do after.
Yeah.
That's just the foundation.
Yep.
But nobody builds a house from the roof down.
Right.
Foundation.
Right.
So for those of you who have already done it, amen. Praise the Lord. Now move on to, you know, meet
perfection.
To perfection. Live a holy life and so forth. Those of us who haven't done it, give us a call, 561-705-7830.
Yes.
We could walk you through it. We could give you some Bible studies, talk to you, encourage you. We love you. We have 34 seconds. Patrice, anything else?
We love you. Praise God.
God
loves you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Yes.
Lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold of that salvation.
Sadler family, I love you. Morgan family, Pinder family, all the families in this nation and on this planet, we love you with the love of God.
Amen.
And God loves you. We have 12 seconds. Anything else?
God bless you.
God bless you.
Have a blessed day.
In the name of Jesus.
We're looking to the promise you made.